League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hour number two, and we're welcoming back Carla Dawson, the Gloss, returns from her leave of absence. And she's been welcomed with both flowers and a book about Raleigh Fingers.
The Raleigh Fingers Baseball Bible.
But, you know, you liked the flowers, you looked
at
them.
Love the flowers.
But then when you got the book about Raleigh Fingers, you turned all flush.
I know. Raleigh does it to me.
Your demeanor changed a little bit.
I've been a fan since 1972.
Wow.
When I was barely born.
Hey, you know, your A's are in this wild card hunt this year.
How about them A's?
It's not likely. They'll have to either, I guess, get ahead of someone like Seattle or the Yankees. But they are in the hunt.
But they are fun.
Do
and they're pulling out these great last second. That 6-5 win over the Giants last night was so exciting.
And Jed Lowry has had a renaissance. How about Jed?
I love Jed. It's been good for Oakland. They need some love.
Well, they do, and their rotation's pitched pretty well. I mean, it's not deep, but they...
No, but Manea's had a fantastic year, and yeah, they've been fun to watch, which isn't always the case.
Well, we're going to talk some baseball when we come back. It's really an interesting season thus far. It feels like the American League is the dominant league, and the National League not so much. It's almost like the Western and the Eastern Conference in the NBA,
right?
That's
a great comparison. It's so true.
With the AL having Boston, the Yankees, and the Astros... all on track to win more than 100 games. And then, of course, you've got the low-end teams, well, the Royals
White
and
Sox,
the Royals.
White Sox, Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, tale of two cities. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. And a tale of two leagues right now, AL and NL. So we will unpack all things baseball. We're going to look at the Manny Machado trade. We're going to look at the races down the stretch. It's interesting. We're really not at the halfway spot. We've only got about 60 games left in this season. So we are in... laser focus mode. We got the trading deadline coming up. Lots to happen now. This is a very, very important end of July here with the trading deadline as teams position for the stretch run.
A week to go. It's going to be busy, I hope.
A week to go, and your Astros need a closer.
Gosh, we do.
Put in a call for Zach Britton or somebody good.
Bring on Zach Attack. I love it.
All right, we shall see. When we come back, we will unpack the Machado signing and look around the MLB. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, I'm asking you, stand-in commissioner for the moment, would you be okay with Mike Trout as the face of baseball?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because you know what you do? You get paid to play baseball.
Right.
The guy plays baseball like nobody's business. He's a two-time, you know, AL MVP. He is stuck in Siberia with the LA Angels and their record. I love what he is for the game. I really do. He plays his heart out. He gives everything to the Angels. He's not disgruntled. He's not complaining. He's not seeking new things. He's just going out and playing hard.
So as context, of course, Rob Manfred, commissioner of baseball, was asked about whether Mike Trout could or should be the face of baseball. And he noted that's not who Trout is. Trout's not out promoting himself that way. Trout doesn't do a lot of commercial opportunities. And he is playing for the Angels, who have yet to win. My reaction was that that's okay. Mike Trout, you put your head down, be a great baseball player, and then he does do a lot for his community. He's very involved in good causes around town. There's not an additional calling to be a self-promoter to try to become the LeBron of MLB. I don't think the world needs that, and that's not how he's wired.
It's not how he's wired. I can also see that I can see from the Angels. The Angels love who what Mike Trout represents.
Yep.
Because he's all in for them. He's not going off to commercial shoots. In fact, you know, he cancels things like that. You know, he's not going off to the World Baseball Classic, Home Run Derby, things like that. He's focusing on his talent and the Angels. So the Angels love it. Then I'm looking at Rob Manfred's side. It's a business. I mean, Major League Baseball has a bottom line. And what they would love to do is leverage the talent and the ambassador that Mike Trout can be for baseball. You know, leverage it into something bigger, you know, what they call their Q factor. But you know what you need for that? Player marketing requires one major thing. That's the player. And he's not willing, Mike Trout is not willing to put himself into that arena. He doesn't want to. And I do think there is a level of frustration within Major League Baseball that with his decisions that he makes by not taking on these things that they wish he would. But that's his personal choice, and he is paid to play baseball.
I salute him. I think he's great the way he is.
I wouldn't touch him.
Let's look at the races down the stretch. American League, there are these three uber teams.
Yow, American League.
Astros, woo! Yankees, Red Sox. Of course, one of those teams in the AL East, Red Sox or Yankees, are going to end up as a wild card.
Which is crazy to think about.
It's crazy because they might win 100 games and still have to do a one-game playoff or one-game wild card. So that looks like that's going to happen. Of those three, they all bring a ton of talent to bear. Their lineups are strong. Their rotations are stellar. I mean, Astros probably have the best rotation when you think about top to bottom, the guys they're bringing and rolling out on the mound.
Well, they do. Top to bottom, 2.94 ERA, best in baseball. Yeah, as Houston.
And right now, if we were taking a vote on the AL Cy Young, I think Verlander and Cole would be on that consideration set.
And Sale and Severino.
So you've got elite pitching on those teams. I mean, if Cleveland fans were sitting here, they'd say, well, we've got Kluber to bring to bear on that discussion. But in terms of teams, those three feel like the big uber teams, the elite teams of this season, at least thus far. But as we sit here on the trading deadline, the Houston Astros seemingly have a gaping hole at the back end of their bullpen. They don't have a closer. Now, they didn't last year really down the stretch. They won a World Series without one. It was a very unconventional thing. It's not what you'd want to go and do again,
I think. No, but they patched it. Do you remember with Verlander, Morton, and McCullough as closers? That was
crazy.
I mean, it worked, and it was so exciting.
And A.J. Hinch deserved a ton of credit for the way he handled that pitching staff.
That was nothing short of amazing. But do you remember he had to bench Ken Giles, about halfway through the playoffs?
Yep.
He just was blowing up. And, you know, that was the right decision. And so he patched it together with his starters.
Incredible. All right, so Giles is blowing up again now.
Oh, my gosh.
At two in historic proportion. He's done for this.
He has become so unglued. And I think the sad thing about it is that it's not something that's just in the Astros clubhouse and they're dealing with. He has become unglued in front of the world. Anybody who watches him on the mound that can see him punch himself in the face. He's battling himself now. It's not about F-bombs directed at A.J. Hinch, which I don't like anyway. That's his manager. And when you've given up runs and your manager's coming out to take you off the mound, it's for a reason, and it's been a good reason for A.J. Hinch to do it.
Let me just be clear. He basically went to his boss and dropped an F-bomb. If you come to me and you throw the F-bomb at me, you're gone. You understand that? I'm sending you down to the minor leagues.
Okay. Well, I've got my Raleigh Fingers Bible, so I'm going to be good.
You'll be all right. You'll keep it straight and narrow.
I'll keep it straight. I'm not messing with you.
Of all the show hosts across SB Nation Radio, you're the last one I'm worried about dropping an F-bomb.
Okay, good. Good. Let's keep it that way.
I worry about everything else with you, but not that one.
As you should. But I think with Giles, too, so Houston's got themselves in a quandary because the guy that throws amazing heat, he's battling himself, and
sure,
he's got to get himself straight. He's down in AAA right now. But I think he also could be tipping pitches. And I don't know if he's open to thinking about that. He's got to get himself right.
All right. But the Astros can't afford to wait. They can't just sit back and Giles is going to get this right. They've got to go out and get somebody. I don't think you can count on Hinch magic as he did last year, right?
No, that's exactly right. Who do you pick up
then? Well, Zach Britton was a guy they liked last year. They wanted him last year. They actually were close to a deal to get him last year. That did not come through. Of course, Britton's injured and is returning from injury and has pitched pretty well in his return. He is a lefty.
He has closer experience. That's great for him.
He is a pretty stellar pickup if you can get him.
Yeah, let's hope.
You know, the Red Sox would love to have him as well. Of course, they have a great closer in Kimbrel, but
yes, they do.
They would love to have a lefty at the back end of their bullpen. He's a guy who could pitch, well, Britton in the eighth inning, Kimbrel in the ninth inning. That would be a great 1-2 punch, a great addition to their bullpen. But the Red Sox don't have the farm depth. They don't have the prospects to trade that the Astros do. If it comes down to those two bidding against each other for Britton, the Astros should win that one.
You think so? And you think, who do you think, Mookie Betts, AL candidate, candidate for AL MVP?
Oh, he certainly is on that short list.
Wow.
He's had an exceptional year. I mean, the funny thing, in the Boston Globe this week, there was an article that, well, if Mike Trout doesn't want to step up and be the face of baseball, we in Boston are going to raise our hands and nominate Mookie Betts, because he's a guy who isn't really shy of the limelight and has performed at the highest level.
I mean, a .359 batting average in the first half, that's impressive. He's also in Boston versus Anaheim. So let's go there,
right,
too.
You know, it's one observation. Clearly one reason why Mike Trout is not the face of baseball is the lack of success on the part of the Angels. When you go back in time, it wasn't that long ago that people really weren't that familiar with Altuve here in Houston. Jose Altuve, he's been around a while now, but it was like the world didn't know who he was until about 2 years ago, three years ago.
He was playing on a 100-loss team.
Well, those teams were so miserable that he was playing in baseball Siberia. Angels, relative to the Dodgers, that marketplace, and being a West Coast time zone thing, no one on the East Coast gets to see the Angels. When you put all that together, it's hard for Mike Trout to be the face of baseball. What he really needs is a World Series victory. He needs quotable moments like Jose Altuve has had. Jose Altuve and now the Astros are a team that people know nationally. I mean, look at the ESPYs last week, the Astros team of the year. They're getting that national following. They're getting recognition, and it comes with winning.
Winning cures all.
Winning cures all. Okay, in the National League side, we can all talk about what the Uber teams are there. Clearly, the National League is not stacked the way the AL is this year, but the Dodgers have just made a big time addition. Machado, really a strong addition to that lineup. Offensively, they look as good as anybody.
I think they just went from good to great. And even though it's very tight in that race, like in the Dodgers are, you know, half a game in first place, the fourth place team, which is the Giants in their division, there's only four games that separate them. I mean, it is tight in there.
Yeah, that's going to change, though.
I think it will change.
You look at the run differential.
With the addition of Machado, you think?
Yeah, well, Machado's going to change it. And I just think that's almost a statistical anomaly. If you actually look, there's data that shows that the point differential that the Dodgers have had in their wins is so much greater than, say, the Diamondbacks, who are number two. And so if you just play that out, the total runs that the Dodgers can score, the few Dodgers runs they give up with their pitching staff, Dodgers have a better team, better lineup, better starting pitching. And you add Machado to that, Dodgers are on their way. They're going to win that division.
Well, you know, credit GM Andrew Friedman out there in LA.
Yep,
he was able to bring in Manny Machado and not disturb his 25-man roster.
Yep.
He got him for five prospects.
Yep.
Which, you know, it's a lot to give up prospects, but when you've got a team like the Dodgers that is stacked and you do not have to move one of them to bring in an all-star, a four-time all-star, two-time Golden Glove, you've got to be kidding me. Andrew Friedman's brilliant.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to talk to Matt Leach of MLB.com, and we're going to ask him what Machado means to that race in the National League. Are the Cubs still in it? We can ask all things of Matt Leach when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals. They'll help you find the parts you need to get the job done right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to helping you get back on the road fast. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Matthew Leach. He is with MLB.com. Matthew, welcome to the show. You're with David and Carla.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great. We've been talking some baseball. Of course, we broadcast out of Houston, and the Houston Astros, we believe, need a closer. and we're looking around the league and thinking what closers might be available. If you were the Astros and you had the resources to go get somebody, who would you go and chase?
I mean, it seems to me, and look, I am fully aware of the history, but it seems to me that the best reliever available pretty clearly is Zach Britton. I mean, there are certainly some other names, and part of this comes down to, you know, is the question, need a reliever, a really good late-inning reliever, or are they really hung up on a guy who is the capital C closer? And if it's that, it's virtually got to be Britton. If they are open to something a little more creative, then there are certainly some other interesting names out there. I mean, even a guy like Kirby Yates is a really good pitcher. Somebody like Calvera Claw in Miami, though, he would make me a little nervous because of the walks. That makes me really nervous in the ninth inning. But, you know, I think that's one of the questions, and I don't know the answer to that. I mean, looking at the Astros, you'd sort of typically say this is not the kind of club that would get hung up on the capital C closer. But, you know, it would also be understandable if they decided that they really wanted somebody who had that experience and who had done that and who had pitched in the ninth in big games. And to me, that's pretty easily Britton. I don't really even know who your other contender would be if you're narrowing it down like that with Familia off the board.
Yeah, we don't want to have to put A.J. Hinch in the same position last year in the playoffs, pulling rabbits out of the hat and using Verlander, Morton, and those people to close. What about Ken Giles, Matthew? Do you think he's going to make it back out of AAA, and do you think we're going to see him in an Astros uniform on the mound again this year?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that there's, again, it's kind of two separate questions, because do I think that Ken Giles can get back to being a good enough pitcher to be a contributing pitcher in the late innings of a contending major league club? Yes. But, you know, again, I think that there is a second part to this, which is all the other stuff. You know, I can say that and still not be sure that what the Astros will want is for Ken Giles to be a part of their roster. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that I don't know from here in Athens, Georgia. You know, that's the kind of question I can't really answer as far as what they're thinking. But I think that, you know, as much as anything, for that specific question, is Giles a part of the Astros of 2018? To me, that is less a question of whether he is a good enough pitcher and more a question of whether that organization wants to make that happen. And I just don't know the answer to that question.
We are talking to Matthew Leach of MLB.com. Okay, let's stay in the American League for a minute. We talked Astros. Yankees and Red Sox, what do you see those two teams looking to do at the deadline?
Well, it certainly seems to me like, and this is funny to say because, you know, the Red Sox have just been this marauding band on offense, but you could certainly see them looking at a bat for the middle infield. You know, they haven't gotten a lot out of second base.
Yep.
And who knows what they get from Pedroia. So, and there are a couple interesting guys, you know, and maybe even not necessarily full-time second baseman, but guys who could play there some and help you out in other ways. You know, certainly a guy like Merrifield comes to mind. I think the Royals are going to want a lot for him, and I'm not sure the Red Sox make that commitment. But I suspect that's where they look. You know, maybe somebody like Ezrubel Cabrera could be a fit. You know, again, I don't know that they're looking for a real impact guy, but I do think they could shore up second base. And everything you hear about the Yankees is starting pitching. I mean, obviously the guy they'd love to get is DeGrom, and then you go Severino, DeGrom at the front of your playoff rotation, and you're terrifying. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to part with what it takes. And I don't think, look, the Mets are in no, there's no pressure on the Mets to move DeGrom, despite what the agent has said. They've got him for a while. So even if there are hurt feelings, they can smooth those over. They're fine if they hold on to DeGrom. They're only going to move him for the absolute right package, and that probably is one top five, top ten caliber prospect. So then you start looking at, you know, who are the second-tier guys. I hear Jay Happ's name a lot, and I know Yankee fans don't get excited about him, but that's a guy who's proven he can pitch in that division. He's a lefty, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think that's kind of an interesting fit. Maybe Hamels. I think that makes a little less sense. You know, they had the Nathan Eovaldi experience, so I doubt they're going to want that again. That's the kind of caliber of starting pitcher that's on the market, and, you know, certainly seems like a potential fit with Happ if you can get over trading within the division.
Sticking with pitchers, Matthew, are you surprised Josh Hader returns to the mound Friday night in his first game back after the whole tweet thing resurfaces? Were you surprised at the reception, the standing ovation he got in Milwaukee?
I mean, no. I mean, honestly, and this is not in any way saying what I would have done or would not have done, but I think that pretty consistently we see that fans at home of their guys mm-hmm. see the best in their guys, whatever it may be, whatever the bad may be. We have seen again and again in most sports under most circumstances that fans, when it's their guy, see the best in their guy. And, you know, and I think, look, if you want to choose, to answer your question, I'm not surprised because, like I said, I think fans of a team tend to see the best in the guys on their team.
It is Matthew Leach of MLB.com joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Okay, the Indians got ahead of the deadline here and picked up Brad Hand. What did he offer their team?
I mean, he's a lot, and not just Hand either, Adam Simber. I mean, they got two really good relievers, one from the left side, one from the right side. Hand a little like Andrew Miller in that he's certainly not a specialist. He's not a guy you're afraid to have face a right-hander. And they were one of those clubs, you know, I talked to a minute ago about the Red Sox kind of having an obvious need at second base. That was a team with an obvious need in the bullpen. And at this time of year, every team thinks it needs pitching, but the Indians really desperately needed relief help. And they got a lefty who can go a full inning, who can finish a game, who can get a lefty out, and a really good right-hander who is also who's a real handful. So that combination, they really deepened and improved their bullpen. Paid a high price for it, but they did what they needed to do.
Matthew, with the acquisition of Manny Machado going to the Dodgers, would you put them in the National League driver's seat?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, they're as strong a candidate for that title as anybody. I think the Cubs are awfully good. You know, we will see what comes out of the East, but I think right now, if you're picking, I think it's hard not to pick either the Cubs or the Dodgers, and it's hard to say that there's a more likely NLCS combination than the Dodgers and the Cubs.
I like it.
Well, we're talking to Matthew Leach of MLB.com. Let's go back to the Mets. I mean, they are sellers. The season is off the tracks. You think they're going to keep DeGrom, but are they going to unload other players? How do you see their sort of actions at the trading deadline unfolding?
Well, I think they're going to move the guys who are not. I think the thing you have to remember when you look at the Mets is that they have no appetite for a rebuild. So they're not. And I think it's a fair stance for them to say, look, the pieces are in place. It's pretty easy to see, with reasonable health, a good 2019 Mets team. If you start with Syndergaard and DeGrom, if you figure that Conforto's got to bounce back, if you figure, hopefully, that Cespedes is healthy, you know, you've kind of put the pieces together, and you can see a pretty good 2019 Mets team. So that kind of informs all of this, and that means I don't think there's any likelihood that they move Syndergaard or DeGrom, but I do think they move the other pieces, guys like Familia, guys who have value, particularly to contenders, particularly tactical pieces, and I think that's how people will view Cabrera, less as an everyday player and more as a bench reserve piece, and in that role I think he's got real value. And they will look to move the guys, and they will have no hesitation to move the guys who will not be part of the 2019 Mets. But I think the guys they think will be real contenders to the 2019 Mets, open season on all those guys, make an offer and they'll listen. And you know, it comes down to those questions of how much money are you willing to part with or take on in exchange for the quality of the prospect and those kind of sliding scales that we get into at this time of year.
All right, Matthew Leach, we've got about 30 seconds. Is Bryce Harper costing himself a lot of money batting about 200 over the last 6 weeks?
I'm as big a Harper believer as there is, but I think it's fair to ask questions at this point. I have been a backer of his. I still believe that he's a special player, but I think it is entirely fair to wonder what his market is going to look like and for clubs to wonder what exactly they're getting, given that he has not put together a whole lot of consistent, healthy, full elite-level seasons. He's basically done that once in the last few years, and so you know, it only takes one team, and he could get a ton of money, but I think the best way to say it is I do think teams that are considering paying big for him have a lot of questions that they've got to answer when they start looking at that.
Matthew Leach, thank you so much for joining us. Matthew Leach of MLB.com. Appreciate you joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Absolutely. Take care.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
This is that segment where everything gets emotional, where things start to fly across the room, plates are tossed.
I miss this the most.
The award-winning, highly acclaimed, much anticipated He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said and we weigh in. And no better place to start than the number one guy in college football, the
Sunshine Saban.
Sunshine Saban, the great Nick Saban. He had a lot to say because he's got, well, maybe a quarterback controversy, maybe not. I don't know. Jalen Hurts was a pretty good player. And then Tua, whose last name only you can say.
Tagovailoa.
Say it again, please.
Tagovailoa.
That does something for
me. Isn't that the best?
Tua Tagovailoa, whatever it was. Very well done. So Nick Saban addressing the quarterback situation in Alabama. What do we got, Jose?
I think the number one thing that you'll want to talk about is the quarterback controversy that you'd love to create, that you've already created, that you will continue to create. And I will tell you the same thing exists there. It's still to be determined as to who's going to play quarterback for Alabama. So you can ask all the questions about it, but it's still to be determined. All right. Two of them basically missed spring practice due to an injury. Jalen had a good spring. Both guys have had great summers. And we're just going to have to see who wins the team in fall camp. So we'll see. So some of your questions, when you ask me about that, I'm going to say, we'll see. So don't get mad at me.
Well, is that a quarterback controversy? He's not sure. We'll see.
Here's the beauty. I have three words for Sunshine Saban.
Yes.
Roll the tape. Because there is a quarterback controversy, yes. But what he's saying here at his SEC Media Days is that we, the media, have created this. See, you created it. You're perpetuating it. You continue. Did the media bench their starting quarterback in the halftime of the national championship game this year against Georgia? Did the media pull out Tua Tagovailoa, who no one had seen before, pulled him out in the second half of the game to win it? This quarterback situation slash controversy was created by the one and only head coach, Nick Saban. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Fair enough. He's got a controversy.
What do you think?
Well, look, he made a great move in that halftime.
It was brilliant.
It was unbelievable.
And no one saw it coming.
No one saw it coming. But look, what he did in his head is he knew that it was not a sure thing that Tua could bring his team back. But the calculation was they were going to lose the game with Jalen Hurts, that the momentum was what it was, that they needed to do something different. They needed to change the pace, and Tua was that guy. What that means this season, we shall see. They're both pretty talented. I mean, look, Hurts, they won big with Hurts.
They did.
So I would bet, this is a little look in the crystal ball, that we're going to see both of them play a number of games this year or split time in games. We're going to see both of them.
Someone's got to win out, though. You don't win doing it, you know,
ultimately
platoon
it's Tua.
System at
ultimately it's Tua.
Ultimately it's Tua. I think you're probably right.
All right, let's shift from Sunshine Saban, as you call him, to somebody who's not so sunny these days, Terrell Owens. Maybe he should be sunny. He's been voted into the Hall of Fame, but he's not going to show up at the ceremony.
No, that's right.
He's going to take his marbles and go play by himself.
Jeez.
Let's hear what Terrell Owens had to say, Jose.
I think overall, I think everybody's obviously wondering, you know, what went into my decision. And I think, you know, John Wooden said it best, like, be more concerned about your character than your reputation. And I think what the noise is right now is really more about my reputation than my actual character. I'm documenting a lot of what I'm doing and my giving my reason of my why. And I think in due time that will be disclosed. And I think, you know, we're just going through the process. And, you know, I'm very secure in where I am, the conviction of what I'm doing. My family's happy. Other than that, like I said, you know, they're making the narrative more so about me offending the Hall of Famers. That has nothing to do with it. I respect all those Hall of Famers that have gone in before me and going in with me and after me. So it has nothing to do with those Hall of Famers. It's always unfortunate, and people have a lot to say when somebody does something different. But what I'm doing is not wrong.
Now, I see you eating popcorn when Terrell Owens came up. It's his signature thing. Get your popcorn ready, right?
Exactly.
A little extra butter. It looks awfully good. All right, but back to Terrell. So he says, what's more important than your reputation is your character. How does that apply here? Am I missing something?
No, you're not. Terrell is missing something.
Thank you.
Because his reputation is a bad teammate. And he actually is living that out. He is being a bad teammate with these Hall of Fame teammates. He's not showing up with them. What he's saying is it's more important to be concerned about your character than your reputation. So tell me if this is good character. If we remember, Terrell Owens has been a finalist for the last 3 years for the Hall of Fame ballot. And it's not unusual not to get in on your first time. He offered very public criticism of the selectors who voted him and didn't choose him for the first 2 years. That does not show character. You are on a Hall of Fame ballot. You did get voted in. They voted you in despite your very public criticism of the people who are voting you in. I don't like that as character. Now, what he said, what I'm doing is not wrong. That's a issue of semantics. Yes, is he doing anything wrong? No, but what he is doing is feeding the narrative, his reputation and his character, that he's a bad teammate and he's not really handling things right. He's going to skip this Hall of Fame enshrinement, which is huge and a huge honor, to do his own speech at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Whatever.
Well, the real loss here, if he's not showing up to the ceremony simply because he didn't get voted in the first two opportunities, the real loss is him. Right? He's missing out on the joy, the fun, the excitement, frankly, the celebration of having made it. He made it.
And being in this fraternity with these other superstars that are also being inducted. And what it does, it's very Terrell Owens. It's all about him now. We're not talking about Randy Moss and all these other incredible people. We're talking about him and his little circus sideshow that he's doing. I don't think John Wooden would approve.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to our third one. It's Larry Fedora. I'm going to let you tee up what Larry had to say. Larry Fedora.
Yeah, who is the head football coach at UNC.
Yep.
And he was asked during ACC Media Days questions about evidence that links CTE and football. And it was kind of asking him about changes, you know, how the media was saying, have you done changes to your practice schedule and to decrease player injuries? And here's how Larry responded.
I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes it. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the blows to the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that every sport we have, football included, could be a problem with that, right? As long as you've got any kind of contact, you could have that. That does not diminish the fact that the game is still safer than it's ever been in the history of the game, because we continue to tweak the game, you know, to try to make it safer for our players.
I believe the game's under attack right now. I really do. And if we're not careful, you know, we're going to lose what the game is all about.
Ay, 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 Larry, you're either naive or foolish. I mean, this is crazy. There is a link between football and CTE. It's conclusive, and it's universally accepted by field experts. So that's that for sure. And it's also interesting to note, in the same week that Larry came out and said that, lawyers that represent NFL players estimate in these concussion settlements, the payments have had to be increased to $1.4 billion because there are so many that are receiving settlements. So while it's not solely football, it's a dangerous rhetoric to say that I don't really think there is a link between football and CTE.
It's sort of interesting. The last couple of weeks, I've been touring colleges with my son who plays football. And one of the colleges we visited was Dartmouth, an Ivy League school. So we're not talking about a team that plays at the level of UNC or in Alabama, obviously. This is Ivy League football. But in the Ivy Leagues now, they do not hit in practice.
And Dartmouth was the front runner to that.
And Dartmouth was the front runner. They will not hit in practice. And actually, when you look at that, then if you have a 10-game season and you play on one side of the ball, you're really not getting hit nearly as many times as people did in the old days. I mean, the number of hits, because, of course, there are two factors here. One is the big monster hit that causes a big-time concussion. But also, people are quite concerned about lots of smaller repetitive hits, the total number of hits.
It's the repeated blows to the head, which Larry did rightfully say. That's true.
But when you eliminate all the hitting in practice, which they are now doing at the Ivy Leagues, that is certainly a step that shows the Ivy Leagues, at least, and other leagues like them, have figured out this is a real risk, and they're going to amend the way they practice in order to reduce the risk.
And the way that that succeeds and that catches on is that everybody would have to do it. Because you're not going to step off that treadmill and watch people pass you by if, you know, everyone else is practicing with hits and you're not. So, but it is, there is a link, Larry. It's serious. The game is under attack, but rightfully so, because it needs to have better safety provisions in place.
All right, let's jump tracks. James Harden, the standout MVP basketball player for the Houston Rockets, he commented on the coming of Carmelo Anthony. Let's hear what James Harden had to say about Carmelo.
Be a great acquisition for us. You know, Melo's a proven vet, you know, and he just wants to win at this point. And so it would be great for him to be on our team. But, you know, with our roster we have now, we got to get guys back and keep making forward progress.
So my reaction to that is, if you're Daryl Morey and you're deciding whether to bring in Carmelo Anthony, you certainly are talking to James Harden and CP3 and saying, hey, sure, guys, what do you think? And it's clear that CP3 and James Harden do want Anthony on this team.
And, you know, if you get that version of Carmelo Anthony, if you get the version that wants to play with these two guys, knows he doesn't have to be the guy and just wants a championship and is willing to do what it takes, then this is a win-win. If you get the Carmelo sitting at the end of the bench at OKC saying, if I don't get my time, I'm not going in, they're in trouble. But let's hope for the best.
All right, fair enough. It does look like Carmelo will be joining the Rockets. All right, let's go one. We've got one more. Allie Raisman, why don't you tee this one up for us?
So this is cool. The ESPYs last week, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award went to all the sister survivors, basically all the, there were 140 gymnasts on
Amazing.
The stage, and some other athletes too from Michigan State. They were all victims of Larry Nassar's abuse. There are over 400 in total, but to see 140 women in their gowns on this stage was so powerful. So we're going to hear from Allie Raisman right now. She had the entire place, all these women had the place in a standing ovation through the entire 10-minute award. It was awesome.
Too often, abusers and enablers perpetuate suffering by making survivors feel that their truth doesn't matter. To all the survivors out there, don't let anyone rewrite your story. Your truth does matter, you matter, and you are not alone. We all face hardships. If we choose to listen and we choose to act with empathy, we can draw strength from each other. We may suffer alone, but we survive together.
What more can you say after that?
I really don't want to add to her message.
No, I don't either. All I would say is that in looking into the crowd, it was so neat as the camera panned.
Yes.
You would see these incredibly, you know, big, burly football stars, baseball star, all these names we know, tears. They were just riveted. It was powerful. Way to go, Allie.
Well done, Allie. All right, when we come back, we will close out the Boss and the Gloss. We will have the section that I enjoy the most. We'll reflect on what we learned from the Gloss as we return in just a minute on ESPN Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, this is always one of my favorite little windows. It's the conclusion of our show. That's not the reason why it's my favorite.
Yeah. How am I supposed to take this? I thought you were welcoming me back, not kicking me out.
No, it's because I get to reflect on what I learned about you and from you during the course of this show.
Ooh, that's scary.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I mean, we learned, well, you got flowers and you got a book on Raleigh Fingers. And apparently, if you really want to please the Gloss, don't give her flowers. Give her a book on an Oakland A's great.
That's kind of a fact, yeah.
Secondly, what came out of that is a book that has been designated as the kind of book you read in the bathroom. But tonight, you heard it here, she declared, the Gloss does not read in the bathroom.
That's right.
That came
out. One purpose only, in and out.
Fair enough. All right. We also learned that all those haters that say the Warriors have stacked the deck and it's not fair, the Warriors have so much talent, you say shut them down.
That's it.
They deserve everything they have.
I mean, truly, everybody had a chance at Boogie. Nobody wanted him.
All right. Next, the Astros do, in fact, need a closer heading into their postseason.
And we love the Zach attack.
And you want the Zach attack, Zach Britton.
I do.
All right, fair enough. And lastly, I think it became clear tonight, Allie Raisman is a hero.
Isn't she? She is a hero, and she represents all those girls, over 400 heroes that finally are getting the recognition that they need and a man behind bars for life. Yep. That's a good trend.
Yep. She's a hero. All right. Next week, we will have some fun, actually. We're going to be
compared to this week?
Well,
what are you saying to me? I'm getting all kinds of not-so-subliminal messages.
Next week will be good. No, we're going to be at the trading deadline. I mean, right at the buzzer.
Well, that's right. That's
true. It's going
to
be really fun to see what will happen down the stretch here.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. All kinds of needs. We got buyers. We got sellers. We've got a big disparity between the winners and the losers, which will set up a great trade market coming up. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss here on SB Nation Radio.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.